want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
Cindy and I would like to say thank you to all of those who have contributed to this ministry, making this broadcast possible.
Tune in to hear an encouraging word by Pastor Cindy Daigle. We pray this is a blessing to your life.
I've been meditating a lot on covetousness and how it's a condition of every human soul. It is the sin that you have to guard yourself against, and no one can see it but you. And it's a difficult thing to identify because the Lord does want you to prosper. He does want you to be able to have things in your hands and be a faithful steward of them to guard what belongs to Him, what's precious to Him, as though it belongs to Him. So He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be a good steward. But He doesn't want you to grasp for things and to think that your identity is found in substance, right? And we live in a nation in a time where covetousness has become part of the political system, and we don't even recognize it. So there's names for it I won't go into, but it's a covetousness that has woven its way into our governing system. And you know, at Christmas, when you stop and think about what Christmas is, it's the birth of Christ. But yet it's turned into Black Friday shopping. It's turned into greed and avarice. It's turned into making sure my gift is better than everybody else's gift, whether I'm getting or giving. It's no longer about the birth of Christ. It's Santa Claus and reindeer, and it's just been totally perverted. And if you really think about what the problem with it is, it's just blossomed covetousness. Right? And it's tinseled and garland and sparkly lights made beautiful with all the glitter and glam, but it's the most hideous part of our human nature trying to dress up. So when we think about it, it kind of gets heavy and we don't want to think about that. We just want to enjoy all the prettiness of Christmas, all the delight, all the fantasy, everything that we dream of that Christmas seems to embody. But what it's supposed to embody is the hope of a Savior who recognized the disease and said, I am the great healer who's come to heal you and to set you free from that. Well, we don't even think about covetousness. One of the authors in the New Testament said that if it had not been for the law, I would not even have known that I coveted, that I have a problem with this. So the Old Testament speaks of coveting, and it's one of the commandments. It's the last one, because if you deal with that one, you will readily take care of all the others. The scripture says that pride comes before the fall. Well, you think of it as a parade. So the end of the parade is the fall. It's destruction. It's despair. It's everything you hope for come crashing down because it had no substance, right? And just before that happens, you have pride. And it's the haughty display of look what I've achieved and look how much better I am. I'm the right race. Hello? I'm the right stature. I've got the right icons. I'm bringing the right cup of coffee. I'm wearing the right shoes. I'm driving the right car. I have the right home in the right neighborhood, and I'm all that. And I've got the right job, and I've got the right sense of everything. And that's pride. So pride displays itself haughtily just before it collapses. Those of you who bake, you know how bread does, right? It gets all puffy. The Lord uses yeast as an example. It puffs up. Pride puffs up, and it wants to display itself. But before pride emerges, there's something else in that parade, and that's the covetousness that has diseased the human soul. And we have to see it. If we were as afraid of covetousness as we are of cancer or diabetes or arthritis, if we saw it as a disease, we would war against it the way we're supposed to. Covetousness starts first inside your heart and says, that over there is not in my possession and I lack it. And I should have it because I'm nothing without it. Covetousness says, I'm missing something. That's what it is. It never looks high enough. It always looks low at the sparkle. It always looks low at what appears to be beautiful. It never lifts its gaze to the heavens. It never humbles itself to say to the Lord, you are so much greater, and you are my supply. You're my answer, and I will be content in what you've brought into my care. See, covetousness doesn't know what to do with that attitude. Covetousness is totally flipped inside out when you humble yourself to allow what God brings into your possession to be so. You know, one of the most powerful illustrations of it that really helps you see is the fifth commandment. And the fifth commandment's right behind the one that's the go to church commandment number four, right? The fifth commandment is honor your father and mother. And if you'll do so, you'll live long on the earth and be blessed. Well, what you're doing when you do that is you're thanking God for the parents he placed you in the care of. Well, what about if they didn't take good care of you? Did God still see fit to place you in their DNA line? Because that's basically what it is. You got their DNA, both of them. And if you can't praise God for your DNA, then you are already saturated with covetousness. If you can't look in the mirror and say, that's my mama's gray hair, and be all right with it, and say, you know what? I didn't think it was beautiful on her, but it was. If I didn't see my dad's nose, I didn't see my mom's, you know, I didn't, when I look in the mirror and I see things that I despise rather than things I can rejoice in, then I'm not honoring my mother and father. If I look at the life that God gave them and the promises and the hope, see, that's what God gave them. What they did with it is not our business. God gave them promise and hope and potential. He set before them life and death, blessing and curses. And he gave them the ability to choose. And he gave you the same ability, completely independent from them. That's powerful. So I can honor them by thanking God that he placed me in their care, no matter what they did with their potential and their promise. Then I can take the potential and promise that God gave to me, and I can honor them by living the name he appointed to me. Then that honor flows backwards. Have you ever noticed that if somebody in your family, which most people have a skeleton in their closet, right? But it's actually a human being we ought to be praying for. If you can recognize the shame that comes with that person and how that person can just diminish the name of that family, and it makes everybody uncomfortable because that person is making my name bad, right? When I have to admit I'm related to that person. Well, it works reverse too. If your family has a name that you're not proud of, then you make it a name that the whole family can be proud of, right? And I don't mean the wrong kind of pride. So what we need to recognize is that covetousness is what really injures the family name, because you think that God made a mistake when he placed you in your family. So it starts with number five. And then you can take covetousness and you can move it to each commandment, and you can recognize that what's at fault here is not the commandments. There would be no stealing, no murder, no adultery, no dishonoring of your family name if you did not covet. Covetousness comes before pride that comes before the fall. And here's the thing that makes it so difficult is you can't get away from it. It's with you every moment of your life, every day of your life. It is your carnal nature. You can define it. You can understand it. You can see it for what it is. It's every time you look at something else and think that that's what gives you value. There's only one thing that gives you value. One thing. It's not a coffee cup. It's not a name brand car or a home in the right street. It's not being married to the certain person. It's not being in somebody else's family. It's no substance gives you value. What gives you value is the precious price that was paid for you. And that price has no greater value. There's only one Son of God. You couldn't get more rare. You couldn't get more precious. He's God in the flesh, and he laid down his life for you. That's ultimate value. How could you think that that can be equated to substance? You can't. You can't. So then what we do, though, in our heart, what covetousness does is says, yeah, but that's not really, he didn't intend that for me. That's not for me. No way. I have to have this coffee cup. I got to have this name brand jacket, certain eyeglasses. That Son of God is too great a value. Couldn't possibly be sufficient
for me because I don't deserve that. So this is what you tell that thought. You're right. I don't. But he did it anyway. And so you just receive it. You just receive it. Just let your faith go, Lord, wash me, cleanse me, make me who you want me to be. Stop looking back into your heritage and trying to repair it. Stop trying to look at your family and make it okay. You just live the promise, the potential that God had for you. That's all you have to do. Just live it out. When you come into these services, you might think, but I don't even know what I'm getting out of that. God is transforming your life. He is speaking from this pulpit into your life. You think, oh, well, that thought wasn't very interesting to me. It's not about your satisfaction or your pleasure. It's His Spirit speaking to your spirit. And He's doing something in that moment that you don't understand. You don't have to understand it. It's bypassing covetousness. Thank God Almighty for that, right? He can go right past our brain, which is nothing but covetousness. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that? And at Christmas time, it's exposed more than any other time. Do you know why Christmas time brings more suicides and depression than any other time? It's not because they don't have the right family or gifts. It's because their covetousness roars like a lion to destroy them. So how do you break it? We praise God and we thank Him. We let His praise be found on our lips. And we don't allow ourselves to engage in the nature that's right here. The problem's not out there. It's right here. It's in our own mind, right? So when you come into service, the Holy Ghost is bypassing you. Thank God He can do that. And when you pray in the Spirit, amen. I just love being at my house by myself, nobody around, and just ripping it. Letting the Lord say what He's got to say and just praying in the Spirit, right? And then He gives you dreams. He gives you visions. He gives you that sense of well-being. He lets you know that all this craziness that's happened in the world, it's been around from the beginning. And I'm still the Savior. And I'm still willing to rescue, ready to redeem, ready to purchase back what was stolen from who? From God. You are precious and valuable to Him.
Hello, this is Pastor Dwayne. I would like to take a few moments to say thank you to those who have written in or called in or just let us know that you've been blessed by this program. Your prayers and encouragement compel us to keep pressing forward. We're also very thankful for those who have sent financial support, both businesses and private individuals. You know who you are. It's truly a joy providing this program for you. We've been amazed at the wide variety of folks who say that they have been impacted by the message brought to you here. From those who are incarcerated to police officers, from business owners to homemakers, from farmers to legislators. We know that we have a mandate from the Lord to preach the no-compromise, straightforward gospel truth, and that is what we've strived to do. If you've been blessed by this radio program in some way, please continue to pray for us, and we would also love to hear from you. You could call or write or even friend us on Facebook. We love to post inspirational thoughts daily. Send your Facebook request to Pastor Dwayne Daigle. And as the Lord lays it on your heart, by all means, your financial gift of any size would be a great blessing. Thank you so much for helping us to take ground for the kingdom of God.
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.